Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Vasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm Sophie Walker, and you may know me from my podcast, Australian Birth Stories, where I talk with Australian women who share their adventures of pregnancy and their unique birthing experiences. I'm delighted to announce that Jodie Wilson and I are here today to talk or to do a takeover of Tell Me What to Read and share with you a little bit about our new book, The Complete Australian Guide to Pregnancy and Birth, which is out on the 31st of January 2023. Jodie, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us. We're so excited to chat about our book today.
We're going to talk a little bit about the backstory of our book, how we came to, set it all up and how we wrote it together over the last few years. And we thought we'd answer some questions we thought people might like to know a little bit more about behind the scenes. So, yeah, it's very exciting. We can't believe that it's finally next week. It's going to be in everybody's hands. Pretty wild, isn't it?
It is. It feels so surreal because it's writing a book is such a long journey. And we were just chatting before we hit record that Sophie and I kind of came to work together after she interviewed me about my four births, which was in January 2019. And I think it was that November, so November 2019, that we caught up for coffee. And Otty, your youngest, was only about 3 months old at the time. And I just remember holding him and sniffing his head. He was so cuddly, wasn't he? But we just got on so well from that first meeting. And full disclosure, that is the only hour that we have spent together in person, isn't it?
It's so funny. And yeah, it's really weird. And it's funny, we're going to catch up like on the book launch. It'll be like the most time we've physically spent together, which is so amazing to think of all the things we've done in between. But we also talk probably about at least five times a day, every day, about all sorts of things.
Yeah, we're pretty, we have a very unprofessional relationship with no boundaries. But after that coffee meeting, that was when, so I'm a journalist and writer, that is my profession. And that was when I started working on the podcast with you, kind of very quietly behind the scenes. And we always kind of just spoke about the fact that there just wasn't a book out there. You know, I'd taught prenatal yoga for 11 years in New South Wales, and you'd had three babies and you'd done the podcast for almost 3.5 years by that stage. And you and I had both been asked so many times, oh, what book should I buy? And both of us had had that thought, gosh, if only there was a book that really comprehensively covered pregnancy and birth for women in Australia, and just was a really informative, encouraging and educational book that we were flummoxed, weren't we? Because there wasn't one. And
sorry, we also talk over each other a lot. No, but I was just thinking what you were saying about comprehensive, because obviously there is quite a few books out there in the market, but we really felt that they were a lot of different things going on. Like some are really skewed towards just preparing for, say, a non-intervention home birth, or some books are skewed are kind of comical and all kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek about different things. And then I think some of the leading ones are American-based, really, and we just felt that they were had been written quite a long time ago, so there wasn't current material, and there wasn't current material that referenced Australian statistics and the way that our healthcare system is set up. And we wanted to be inclusive of all the different types of births, similarly in the way that we do in the podcast, kind of recognizing every type of birth, and that this book would be a book that any woman could pick up and see themselves in and relate to.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, there's so, but there's been so much change in the birth space within kind of the past decade, and we really wanted to reflect that there's a lot of opportunities now for women to conceive as solo mothers, for same-sex couples to walk that path of pregnancy and birth and be supported in the care system. And so family units are looking very different. There's a lot more open discussion about fertility treatments. We know that one in six couples will experience infertility, whether that's medical infertility or social infertility. And we just wanted, yeah, as you said, we wanted a book that anyone could open, whether that's a pregnant mother, a woman that is hoping to conceive, a support person, a birthing partner, anyone could open this book and really feel that they're seen and they're included and that their journey is spoken about. That's ultimately what we wanted to create, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we're obviously writing this book with the experience of, Jodi writes all the show notes for the podcast, so she intimately knows every episode as well as I do. And I think we acknowledge that we're both coming to writing this book as mothers. Jodi's got four children, I've got three. We both had overall very positive birth experiences with a few challenges throughout, but we had continuity.
A few challenges
thrown in there. Yeah. And you can hear all of those on the podcast, but we had continuity of care with midwives and we'd both chosen that model of care and felt incredibly supported and privileged to being able to have that through the public system. So we took those experiences, but we also interwove the experiences of all the women we'd interviewed and really tried to create that safe space. And I think acknowledged a lot of challenges that come in pregnancy and the birthing experience that we haven't experienced ourselves. And therefore we went out to women who had to share their firsthand experiences and to expert organisations such as High Premises, Gravidarum Australia, and we got their contribution to really take us into the depths of HG, because we've both been fortunate enough to not have to experience an HG pregnancy. And similarly with other issues, like we know that domestic violence in pregnancy increases quite significantly. So we spoke to various social workers to help us unpack. So women who are coming to the book who perhaps are in that or suffering from that in their family dynamic, that they also feel seen and supported. And then there's a variety of different resources to help support them on that next stage. So we acknowledge where we were coming from, but we also just were so careful to be as inclusive as possible. And where we didn't feel like we had firsthand experiences, we definitely went out and sought that information firsthand from people who had.
Yeah, and that was our responsibility really as writers, to, I think, acknowledge our fertility privilege, acknowledge our pregnancy and birth experiences and the privilege of those, and also acknowledge that we are white women, middle-class white women in Australia, with health literacy that kind of allowed us to go into that continuity of care, which we know is very, very hard to access, and it's only getting harder to access because more and more women are wanting to, really have that relationship with a known midwife or a known care provider, whether that's an obstetrician in the private system or an independent midwife at home or in the public system. So I think acknowledging our privileges was so important. And then we just became a conduit for all the stories. So over 350 stories that I've listened to them all. You've interviewed all those women. It was just this pot of gold, really, this wealth of knowledge. And we sat that alongside all these expert voices. So obstetricians, midwives, psychologists, nutritionists, and then, mental health workers, social workers. And we really wanted to start the book by acknowledging that a positive pregnancy test can lead to a whole range of emotions. And that, I think it, acknowledging that there's overwhelm that sits next to happiness, there's fear that oscillates with hope, that a positive pregnancy test can be an unplanned pregnancy. It can be a planned pregnancy. It can be a pregnancy that comes after years of infertility and perhaps loss. And there's a lot of grief wrapped up in that. So when we started to work on that very first chapter where we, you know, talked about what comes after a positive pregnancy test, that's when we really cemented that this book is above anything else. It's incredibly realistic, and it really does cover the spectrum of pregnancy and birth experiences without judgment. And we really want to emphasize that there's so much about pregnancy, about your experience of pregnancy, that is totally normal, even though it's not often discussed.
Mm. And we feel like, I mean, we start the book in the introduction with what is often kind of referenced throughout the podcast that, you know, I wish I had known. And I think that comes up so many times in so many different ways throughout pregnancy and birth, and particularly so with miscarriage. And we know that one in four pregnancies end in loss. So we were very acutely aware that a lot of women who are purchasing our book, assuming that their pregnancy would carry right through and they'd be holding their baby at the end, and we knew that a lot of women reading wouldn't fall into that category. So we really wanted to nurture and educate them and not feel like they kind of just have to shut the book and walk away and it's not for them anymore. And I think so many women have shared their experiences of loss on the podcast and have said, you know, after they've been through a miscarriage, then a lot of girlfriends and family members have come forward and said, oh, I've had one too. But when you're actually finding out the news and making those decisions with your care provider, often that's not a time where you are leaning. I mean, some people are, but a lot of people are perhaps still doing that privately and aren't aware of what can unfold in a miscarriage or what their options are, whether they have, say, a DNC or whether they have the baby at home, what's involved in that process. And we really wanted to help support those women. So we felt like that was a real gap in a lot of pregnancy books that were out there. It was still shrouded in secrecy, miscarriage and loss.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, and we've heard it time and time again on the podcast, that women had started miscarrying or were told that they had miscarried, and then there was so little information out there, and they didn't know what their options were, and therefore they couldn't advocate for themselves. And so including a chapter where we really very simply outlined, these are the types of miscarriages, these are your options for treatment, this is what you may be feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, this is how you can care for yourself after a miscarriage, and advice for support people on how to actually comfort a grieving mother. And also, and I think this is the crux of it, that every pregnancy ends in a birth of some kind, and what follows is a postpartum period where healing and rest is imperative. So when we silence miscarriage, we also are silencing that postpartum period where, you know, women are heading back to work and their bodies are actually just needing to heal and rest. And I think that leads into the essential care aspect of this book, where we have really, really emphasized the importance of the way you care for yourself as a woman and as a pregnant mother. We actively chose not to use the term self-care because it's kind of been hijacked by spa days and pedicures, and essential care is much simpler than that, and it's very actionable, and it's like drinking enough water every day, prioritizing rest, reaching out for support if you need it, gently moving your body in a way that feels good, all those things that are kind of can so easily be put by the wayside, but they can really kind of bolster your pregnancy experience.
And I think that's also another real shift. We've addressed the reader as you in this book, and the book is very much focused, whilst you're definitely learning about the growth of the baby and what stage of the pregnancy you're up to and what might be happening, we've really focused on the mother, which we feel is so imperative, and I mean, simple kind of little bubbles pop up in the book that say, you know, just encourages you to kind of just check in with your body and relax your jaw and take a deep breath and center yourself. And those skills are just so, so helpful in motherhood when you down the track, when you've got, perhaps you've just gone through witching hours or you've got a tantruming toddler by your side. There's just great kind of life skills lessons about how to nurture yourself in the moment rather than booking a babysitter and going out for the afternoon. Just simple things you can do right now that'll have just relaxing your jaw and just paying attention to perhaps do you need a glass of water? Those things sound so small and simple, but can have a huge effect and cumulatively throughout the day. If you're checking in and nurturing and looking after yourself, then you're going to be.
And essential care and that concept of checking in with yourself is actually really powerful birth preparation. And we discuss that at length in the book, that when you do that every day, when you're really fostering that mind-body connection, when you're checking in with yourself to see, okay, how am I feeling? How am I breathing? How is my baby moving? These are all things that, you know, come together to make sure that you're really fostering your mothering intuition and that you're really checking in with your body. And when we develop that awareness of our body, we're more likely to trust it. And when we trust it, we're more likely to trust in its ability to birth. And I think I've seen that time and time again in yoga classes when women would come to me at 12 weeks pregnant and have very little body awareness and very, you know, not much mind-body connection. And over the weeks, I just saw them develop this really strong connection to their mind and body so that they were able to just tune into it. And it's that's birth preparation. And as we say in the book, birth preparation does not start when you start listening to a birth class. It starts right now, right where you are. And that's just by simply observing your breath. And we know that breathing is such an amazing tool to take with you into birth. So, of course, there is a lot of discussion about breathing and sound within the book.
And it feels like that essential care element that threads throughout the entire book really is the beginning of supporting yourself, not only for the birth process and understanding yourself, but for postpartum, because I was going to say struggle then, but I mean, we both are so passionate about the postpartum period and looking after yourself, but so much so that we felt like that's a whole nother book. Like there's so many elements to that and we didn't want.
Oh, we had so many discussions.
Like, oh, and the book is 432 pages. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah. And our publisher, Jane, she's like, guys, this is just ballooning. And we're like, we can't stop writing. And it just felt, it's interesting as a writer because you just feel such a responsibility to your reader. And I think, I mean, I've written a previous book before and it didn't have nearly the same level of responsibility as this book, because we know how vulnerable you can feel in pregnancy and how much you just want someone like a trusted companion to guide you through it, just to talk to you in really empathetic but kind of grounded, in a grounded way. It just felt like such a disservice. And we had so many discussions about where do we end this book, because we did not want to drop the reader at birth, because I feel like, and that is another common theme that we've heard in the podcast, is that women have spent all their pregnancy preparing for birth and have not once thought about the hours, days, weeks and months after birth. We have discussed early postpartum, not in quite as much detail as I would have liked, but we are hoping that that will be the next book.
Yeah, definitely. We've already got notes, so we definitely, that will be coming in one form or another.
Sophie, we have a chapter list.
It could be a way off, because we definitely spent, it's nearly 2 years altogether. I think that's another, I mean, you touched on there, you've written books before, but the editing process in this book was so intense, and I mean, we were anticipating it to be a big process, and it was very, very important to us as well, because as we've acknowledged, we're coming to this with mothers. I've got a master's in public health. Jodie's a journalist and has taught yoga and pregnancy education for a long time. But we wholeheartedly acknowledge that we're not midwives, we're not obstetricians, we're not nurses. So it was so important to us to get the book medically reviewed by professionals to make sure that all the things we had collated, all the statistics and the references and the the guidance we were giving was medically correct. So not only did obstetricians and midwives, several, read the book for medical accuracy, we had a team of at least four of us working on the editing process and then having those questions of like, how deep do we go into postpartum and where do we draw the line? And then even they were saying it's ballooning, but they're like, I think we need another birth story in here. And we're like, okay. And I mean, with the title as well, the complete guide, we kept coming back to that too. We were so, I mean, there's so much content you can add in, and we wanted to be complete and comprehensive and to fill the gaps that we felt were in other books that people were kind of, quick to give out at baby showers. So, I mean, that editing process was, it's funny now because we've spent so much time poring over various kind of editions of it and stages of it. And then you and I keep reading it now with the lead up to the thing. And we literally go, it's so good. Like, it's so good. We really wish we'd had it ourselves. That's that whole line. Oh, we created something we felt wasn't there, but we're so proud of it, aren't we?
We are. And look, the editing process was transition, Sophie. And I think really I cried on multiple occasions. And there were so many phone conversations where you were like, it's okay, Jodie. Like, I was like, I can't do it.
And then when we're in it so much, did you feel like, I'd be like, oh, I hope we mentioned this. Oh, yeah, we did. And then you turn the page and we've totally covered it. We were so close to it.
Yeah. We were so, and I think when you have 432 pages of text that you've written over a year and that you're now editing with a fine tooth comb and with a group of editors who are so brilliant at their job but are not active participants in the birth world, you have a lot of discussions about language. And that was really interesting because our editor, you know what was really beautiful is that both our publisher, our editor, and our editorial manager, they all shared their birth stories with us when we first discussed this, which I thought was a really beautiful way of understanding how they were coming to this text. But the language that we so we were really intent on not using the word deliver. We always said birth. Or our editor was, she came to us and she said, for instance, when you give birth to your baby. And I said, no, when you birth your baby, like we want birth to be an active verb. And there was a lot of discussions about that, which was really, really interesting because it felt like, I feel like the language in the birth world has changed significantly over the last 10 years. So, for instance, we no longer say normal birth, we say vaginal birth. Mm-hmm. And we also really didn't want to say C-section, did we? We wanted to say cesarean birth because despite the assistance that you're having in the operating theatre, we really wanted to shift the emphasis from passive surgery to active birth. The birthing mother, regardless of the fact that she's in an operating theatre, is still birthing her baby. And so it was stuff like that. And even when it came to, like, we didn't say morning sickness. We've said pregnancy sickness or vomiting, nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. So we've made a conscious choice not to say morning sickness because for the majority of people that experience it, it goes well beyond the morning. Like, that's just a term that kind of diminishes the intensity of the experience.
Definitely.
Oh, it's interesting that I think we were very also conscious of saying birth partner or birth support people, so that those family units that aren't just heterosexual couples felt really included.
I guess another interesting area we sort of touched on in the editing process of the importance of language, which we've kind of learnt along the years with Instagram of triggering various people by making mistakes ourselves. And I feel like that's been a very good education into yeah, acknowledging sometimes subtly we put words into Instagram posts and things that we've like perhaps haven't thought through as best we can, and then acknowledge that we've upset someone. So we felt like we've really learned over the last kind of 6 or 7 years, what is kind of hypersensitive to certain people and how to be as inclusive as possible. And that was woven into the way that we illustrated the book, because it's, I think some people were expecting a bit of a coffee table book of all the beautiful birth imagery that we share through the Instagram account and through the podcast. But it's definitely a text-based book, and we wanted to have illustrations to help show active birth positions and the way the baby's moving and where the placenta is and twins and things like that. So there are illustrations throughout, and that was challenging as well, because we're not self-published, we're working with a publisher and a team, and they have protocols and procedures and people that they work with. And the initial drawings that came back, I don't know if we should be so honest, but we said, oh my God, that looks like Barbie's having a baby. We're not using that. And so no, we went back and forth on that. Take that out.
Yeah, we wanted to be really, illustrations were just a really powerful way to represent all kinds of women and all kinds of birthing people. And our illustrator has done a beautiful job of that. So, you know, there's birthing mothers and support people in active birth positions. There's yoga positions and practices. And they sit really, really nicely alongside these bubbles that are throughout the book that are just little mindfulness prompts, I suppose, that encourage you to breathe into your belly, to relax your jaw, to be conscious of how you're standing or sitting. And it really does, we didn't want it to be even though it's a serious pregnancy and birth book and it's incredibly comprehensive and there is a lot of information in there, we also knew that a lot of people feel really confronted by a big book, and that it was really important for us to break the text up into really bite-sized pieces. So we've done that. There's a lot of expert tips in bubbles. All the advice for support people is in breakout boxes. And we've used colour and text to really make the information easily digestible so that you can read 2 or 3 pages at a time and gain a lot of information from that, but not feel overwhelmed by how much text there is. It was really important for us to also acknowledge First Nations families and birthing options. And it was an interesting process for us to do that, because we started reaching out to Indigenous midwives, and then we realised that actually who are we to ask questions of Indigenous birthing people and professionals and then translate that. And so we really felt that the best way to include that information in the book was to have Indigenous people write that chapter. So we reached out to the team at Molly Wardaguga Research Centre, and they were really pivotal in the establishment of the Birthing on Country model of care in the public hospital system in Australia. And they have included some really, really beautiful points for all birthing people who are birthing in Australia, but specifically First Nations women and their families. And I think the most profound acknowledgement is that Indigenous Australians are the oldest culture in the world, and therefore they were the first midwives. We can learn a lot from them, and ultimately, and we say this in the acknowledgements of the book, that we hope that this book in some way works towards closing that gap for Indigenous women, because we know that continuity of care with an Indigenous midwife or a midwife that identifies as Indigenous or Torres Strait Islander has a profound impact on the pregnancy and birthing journey for Indigenous women and their families and their babies moving forward.
We've also got a beautiful story in the book of Teresa, who has been on the podcast, and it's probably a good point to say any any of the birth stories that are shared within the book, that our podcast episodes have a little audio symbol illustrated. So you can read that that kind of overview of their experience, but then you can go and listen and hear them share it in their own words on the podcast. So there's a nice synergy there of kind of bringing in the various mediums and guiding you through. So it really is kind of a multimedia experience. But Teresa had a traditional confinement period with the support of her mum, who flew over from Singapore and supported her. And she sort of shares how she brought in her own culture into her pregnancy and postpartum experience. So it's another beautiful kind of recognition of the various cultural practices surrounding birth and the very different dynamics and families that we've got in Australia.
And I think, we are very, very encouraging about actively preparing for birth, but we also emphasize page after page after page the importance of really consciously planning your postpartum and setting up that foundation for the fourth trimester, which is the 12 weeks after birth. I know from personal experience how beautiful a supported postpartum is. And I think it's interesting to hear stories like Teresa's. And there's been a few women on the podcast who have, and they've also, it's been quite interesting that as first-time mothers, they've been a little bit hesitant of that.
Yeah, they've been a bit skeptical initially if it was right for them, haven't they?
Of that, that traditional Chinese confinement period, but then they've just fully surrendered to it and embraced it and realized how privileged they are to have it. So I think
Teresa was longing for her subsequent, wait till mum gets here kind of thing. So
I know. And I think it's a sensitive issue because it really emphasizes the fact that we have lost our village and that, you know, a lot of us don't have those support networks, but there are really practical things you can do to set yourself up for that postpartum period. And that's a major part of the book. And I think that was how we balanced, having to end the book at some point.
Yeah.
So we have ended it after early postpartum, but throughout the pregnancy chapters, there is so much information and guidance on how to plan for your postpartum and set that supportive foundation up for yourself.
Yeah, and I feel like recently when we've sort of answered questions about the book on the various platforms, people have said, what's the difference? Should I get the birth class, or what's the difference between the book and the birth class or the audio courses? And do you want to share what we kind of feel that the major difference between the two are and kind of who's right for what and at what stage?
We want this book to be a guide to your pregnancy and birth. And honestly, it's the book that I longed for in my pregnancies, just something that I could always have on hand to flip through, to remind me of the enormity of my journey.
We start that at preconception. So we really begin at the very, very beginning in the book, don't we?
Yes, we really do. And it's a thorough guide. It's comprehensive. It's encouraging, it's understanding, it's empathetic, and it takes you through all the trimesters of pregnancy. It prepares you for birth, and as I just said, it helps you plan for postpartum. But the birth class is more active birth preparation. So there's 10 modules in the birth class, and if we were to transcribe all those brilliantly discussed conversations on there, we would have a doorstop of a book, and we just couldn't bring all of that detailed information about all those aspects of labor and birth into the book without it just being massive. So consider The Complete Australian Guide to Pregnancy and Birth your pregnancy and birth guide. It's the thing you can flip through. You'll learn a lot. You'll learn everything you need to know. But the birth class is your really active birth preparation, where you are listening to professionals discuss all the elements of the stages of labor and birth, both vaginal and cesarean and VBAC. And you're kind of really putting into practice in real time the skills that are shared, the tools that you and your partner can take into the birthing suite. And we always say that the birth class is a conversation starter. And for birthing partners that are perhaps a little bit confronted by the birth process, that are feeling really fearful, that are perhaps showing disinterest for whatever reason, an audio, something to listen to together or alone is the best way to start conversation. And we know that a birthing woman feels so much more confident in her ability to birth if she knows that her support person is prepared. And so for that reason, the birth class is a beautiful, beautiful, and I would say essential companion to the book.
Mm. And I did an interview yesterday about the book with a journalist, and she sort of said to me, you know, we start the book with I wish I had known. And she asked me, like, what do you wish you had known? Because as I've shared on the podcast, my first birth didn't go as planned. And I think I just really wish, and it's our kind of overarching wish for the reader of this book, to understand and explore all the various options and the way that pregnancies and births can unfold, take in that information, and then make your own informed choices that are right for you. And without that information, just kind of going with the flow on the day has shown that you could then fall into that camp of one in three women that experience birth trauma, because women who have felt empowered to make decisions on the day, even if they're going in expecting to have an intervention-free birth and that's their overall wish, if they understand the process of what's involved in an induction, or they understand the process of what's involved in an epidural, and they make a choice knowing that it could lead to a series of other things unfolding, but they feel like they were heard, listened to, and supported to make their own decision, then they come away from their birth experience feeling a lot more empowered. And that's what we hope. I mean, we said, wouldn't it be amazing if after the book's gotten out that those numbers were reduced? And obviously there's a lot of factors involved in that and a lot of different areas of healthcare that need to be improved. But that's our overall wish, that you go in feeling informed and educated to kind of make these decisions for yourself in the birth space and in your appointments with your healthcare professionals leading up to the birth in your pregnancy care, just asking questions because you've read about things and you understand and you know that there's kind of two options, or what if we explored this, those sorts of conversation starters, and creating a place of coming from being informed. And I think we could talk about this all day, but appointments throughout pregnancy are often quite brief, as particularly if you're in the public sector and in the private as well. You've got a small window to quickly ask your questions, it feels like, unless you're having, sort of private care where you've got a midwife coming to your home. They're sort of anecdotally longer appointments, but you've got a small window to ask your questions and find out policy things. And so if you go into those appointments with perhaps a list of questions because you've done the reading and you know what to ask for, you can really foster a strong relationship between you and your care provider.
And I think perhaps the essence of the book is that this is your pregnancy and it is your birth, and your pregnancy and your birth and your labor and you matter. It all matters. It's your experience. And I think when we're given the permission to get informed, to take really good care of ourselves, to ask the right questions, to know which questions to ask, to understand the process of informed consent, then we're really setting ourselves up for a positive birth experience. And as you said, we know that a positive birth experience can happen in all kinds of birth settings, and in all kinds of births and with all kinds of care providers. But it comes down to the birthing mother being able to make informed decisions for us, for herself, and those decisions being supported and respected by the care provider. And that is a beautiful example of informed consent in practice. And informed consent can feel like a really big concept, but we've really broken it down in the book. And it is about you being informed, you asking questions, and those questions being answered in a very objective manner by your care provider, and then you making a decision based on those answers. As I said, this is your birth, and I think that's the essence of it really, isn't it, Sophie? This book is that it really, it's about acknowledging how enormous this pregnancy and birth journey is for you, and taking good care of yourself, and really having open conversation and ongoing conversation with your birth support people and with your care provider. And unfortunately, those times that you're in appointments with your care provider are short, and it's for that reason that midwives and obstetricians no longer really have the opportunity for birth education in those appointments. There's little, if any, birth education, because there's a lot of forms to fill out and there's just not a lot of time that, you know. So we hope that this book can fill that gap, that you can learn what you need to from this book and then go in with these questions that are going to give you the answers that you need to ultimately set yourself up for the birth that you want.
Yeah. What amazed us throughout this process as well is obviously things are changing, and guidance and procedures are changing over the years. And even having birth, sort of, you birthed 4 babies, I've birthed 3. We learned so much in the process of writing this book, didn't we?
Oh my gosh. I just look, my partner wants a 5th baby, and calm down, Daniel. I feel like this book has actually, it's just been so, like, we've just poured our hearts and our minds, and I actually get a bit teary, and I don't know why I'm crying now, but we've just poured so much of our life and our energy into this book. And you were in lockdown. I can't believe I'm crying now, but you were in lockdown for like the whole writing process. And we talked multiple times a day with screaming kids in the background. So this is very much a book that's been written in the depths of motherhood. Yeah. But also we've got the clarity of retrospect, so we can look back on our pregnancy and birth journeys and really, really acknowledge what the experience was like for us. And then I feel like we're just full to the brim of all these birth stories that you've featured on the podcast, and there's quotes scattered throughout the book from women that have shared on the podcast with that audio symbol next to those quotes, so that you can go and listen to their full story.
If you and I, being in this space for a long time, and our feeds are full of accounts that are discussing birth information and education, if you and I learned stuff through the process, so many things, then I think it's quite a great kind of, we often ask, you know, I'm up to my 2nd or 3rd baby. Do you think I need to do birth education, or do you think I need to read the book? And I guess our answer is definitely yes, because we're forever learning, and we've poured all this new up-to-date content into the book. And things like, when we have chats like, oh, when I had mastitis, they didn't tell me to do that. And it's like, yeah, that's all changed now, and here's what they recommend now. So we've, and obviously there'll be updated editions over the years of this book to keep it current, but there's definitely, if you've been there and feel like you've been there and done it all, we definitely encourage you to pick up the book, because there's new ways of doing things that science and research have proven, and it's also, every birth and every pregnancy is so different, even if you've done it before. And I know my births were all significantly different, and I think it's just so important to allow yourself that time and space to lean in and connect with this new baby and new pregnancy and prepare yourself again and refresh your skills and start those conversations with your partner again, and you've perhaps got even more to discuss. So, you know, in our 2nd birth, this happened, you know, how do you feel about that? Do you want to try this time, and just really prompt those conversations between you and your birth support team?
Yeah, and I feel like another question that's come up a lot is, I'm trying to conceive, should I read this book? Oh my goodness, yes, because there is, in early, I think the first trimester is actually the biggest chapter in the book, because there is so much to cover. If you know what your care options are before you conceive, if you know that it's a really good idea to go to your GP before you conceive to get bloods done so that you can get on top of low iron levels and you can see where you're at. If you can work on your early pregnancy nutrition before you conceive, these are all really, really positive steps to take. And our book takes you right through that that preconception journey. So it's a book for preconception right through to early postpartum. So ideally you'll be reading this book for well over a year.
Mm. And then I think we'll have to stop because we could talk all day. But we've had so many beautiful, and they're actually included in the book, some incredible reviews from people that we know, love and respect in this field, from obstetricians to women's health physios. Incredible midwives. Hannah Dahlen said a beautiful thing, and so many. Jana Pittman and Dr. Natalie Elphinstone, who's incredible and has shared a lot of work on maternal assisted cesareans. And yeah, just people that we have so much respect for. And when we sort of nervously sent them a copy of the book, and when they sort of raved about it, we were literally crying and so excited. So we've had some incredible feedback. We know that people really are excited to share this with their patients. And we really hope that you pick it up and love it as well.
Yeah, and we hope it's the trusted companion and friend that you really want telling you everything you need to know in pregnancy, so that you never have to say, "I wish I'd known."
Thanks so much, Jodie.
Thanks, Soph.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au. Links can be found in the description. We would also love to hear what you're reading, so feel free to join the conversation on social media. Search Booktopia on your favourite platform and join our book club. We'll catch you for our next episode, but until then, thanks for listening and never stop reading.